Thank you, sir. I want to thank the Lord today for this opportunity and privilege I have to be with you again. I love to preach the Word of God. I love to share the Word of God with you. I tell you, I know what it did for me. I tell you, it caused me to be born again. I tell you, it gave me eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand. The Holy Spirit took the Word of God and dealt with me, drawed me with cords of love, gave me understanding what I need to do to get saved. I didn't have no clue. I didn't have no understanding. To change my course, to be able to be saved, to be born again. I tell you, I was lost and hell bound. I just didn't know which way to go, which way to turn. But I'm thankful that the Lord took the Word of God and dealt with me. I tell you, He gave me eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand. And I tell you, I've been born again. The Bible said, by the incorruptible seed, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And I've been born a brand new creature in Christ. I've been born into the family and the household of God. I tell you, I've been baptized into the body of Christ. I tell you, once I got saved, once I got born again, He took out that old heart stone that I had. I tell you, He did a spiritual operation on my heart. He cut out the old dead heart, that old rotten heart, a heart of sin. I tell you, I was born with it. I was born with a bad heart. And the Bible tells us that we go forth this speaking lies. From our mother's womb, we was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. I tell you, there's nothing good about mankind whatsoever. Man, in his very, very best state, is altogether vanity. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. We all like sheep have gone astray, but the Lord has laid the iniquity of us all upon His Son, and by His stripes we're healed. And therefore, man needs a Savior. Man needs to be born again. He's got to have a new heart in order to serve God and to love God and be pleasing in His sight. It's going to take that transformation. It's going to take that conversion before anyone can please God. The Bible said on the way to please God is by faith. And when you got to have faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, when you believe on Him with all your heart, you repent of your sins, you confess your sin, you sorry that you sin against God, and I tell you, you bring your broke heart and contrite spirit, He'll save you just like you are. And I tell you, then you are a brand new creature in Christ. And not only that, once you have faith to get saved and you get saved, I tell you, you'll have the faith to serve Him. And the Bible said, now the just shall live by faith. And I tell you, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I tell you, we must please Him by faith. I tell you, each and every day, I tell you, the old devil is there to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. He loves to sow doubt in our minds of what God can do, what God will do. And he'll try to tell us that God's against us and that God won't hear us when we pray. I tell you, the Bible said, if you're saved, He hears you. We have a great high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, in all points tempted as we are, but He was without sin. He understands us. He knows our case before we ever bring it to Him. And I tell you, He understands and He loves His people. He has chosen us and called us to be a soldier. He's there at the mercy seat. The Bible says He's at the right hand of the Father, interceding prayers for the saints according to the will of God. The devil does, and he makes accusations against the saints. But I'm thankful to know that we can come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in a time of need and in a time of trouble, in a time of mercy. We need, there is a throne of mercy. There's a throne of grace. It's something we do not deserve. It's something we can't work for. I tell you, we come and by His grace, He forgives us. He helps us and He has mercy upon us because He loves us so. He loves us so. That's the reason why I love Him today, because He first loved me. And I tell you, I want to glorify Him today. But I'm thankful that He hears and answers the prayers of the saints. Not our prayers that we come and we pray amiss. I tell you, when we don't pray right, I tell you, God's not going to hear that type of prayer. He'll hear it, but He won't answer our prayers. I tell you, the Bible says we're not to pray amiss. We're not to pray anything that's against or out of the will of God. I tell you, we're to come and pray and ask God's will to be done in our lives. And whatever His will is, then it'll be right. And I tell you, He's just God. He's a loving God, and He understands our case. I tell you, He's already been there. I mean, from being born in this world and to be being poor, no doubt, didn't have a whole lot. I tell you, he faced it all from birth to death. He faced it all. I think it was 33 years upon this earth. And I tell you, He knows it, what we're going through. He's already went through it. He's already tasted of it. And He is the one that the Father has highly exalted Him and gave Him a name above every name, that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. I tell you, God has trusted Him. God has put it on Him. I tell you, everything that was made, He made through Christ Jesus. The Bible said that it was all through Jesus Christ. He was in the beginning with the Father. The Bible said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. He's the only one. And I tell you, He paid the price for our sin. He came in this world to be a suffering servant. I tell you, He came to do the will of the Father. And He went into the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible said, as before, as He went and prayed, told the disciples to pray. Their eyes were heavy. No doubt they were tired, but no doubt He told them to watch for an hour. But He went and prayed. And He come back there. They were asleep. But the Bible said He would pray and ask God, if it be Thy will, that this cup would pass from me. And He said, not my will, but Thy will be done. And so when He prayed that, but it was God's will that He would become that sacrifice for sin, that He would take the place of mankind. In other words, He took our punishment. He took our pain. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And I tell you, He paid the price for all of us. And all that will enter this world, He's already died for that sin as well. And I tell you, He died. But because He was come to do God's will. He was obedient unto the Father. And so He prayed that prayer, if it be Thy will, that this cup pass from me. But not my will, but Thy will be done. Here He was. His body came from His mother. He had a fleshly body. He had a fleshly body, but He never had sin. He neither was He born in sin. I tell you, we were born in sin. We were shaping iniquity, but His seed came from above. So He was perfect and upright. I tell you, only one that lived perfect and 100% perfect, I tell you, never had sin before. I tell you, there's something in the Bible that talk about that they were a perfect and upright man. Job was one of them. That was because he did the sacrifice that God had required for his sin and for the sin of his family. I tell you, Paul talked about, according to the law, blameless. A Pharisee, he talked about this, that he was blameless because what the law said do about his sin, he did it. And so therefore they were considered perfect and upright. But they had sinned. But Jesus had never sinned. He didn't. There was no sin. Neither was there guile found in his mouth. The Bible talked about this. He was perfect and precious and pure. And I tell you, that he's the only one that God could accept. And that's why God sent His Son to the world, not to condemn the world, but through Him might be saved. I tell you, that's why we are saved, because we believe on the one. We believe on the Savior. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that died for our sins. He's the one that took our sins and bore them in His body on the tree. He became that sacrifice for you and me. And the Bible said He came to this world to die for sinners. He came into this world. He said, the Father has prepared me a body that I might die, that He might die for His brethren, lay down His life for us, because He loved us so. He loves us all. He loves you. And that's why He died. But He laid down His life. And not only that, He got up. He got up from the grave. Up from the grave He arose. He arose from the victor, from the dark domain. He lives forever, and He reigns, and He reigns, and He reigns. He is the true and living God. He's the living Savior. I tell you, He's not a dead God. He's not in the ground. He didn't see corruption. The Bible said that the Father didn't leave. The Bible said didn't suffer His Holy One to see corruption, nor left His soul in hell, but raised Him from the dead. God raised Him from the dead. Only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. He raised Him from the dead. Thank God. He's a true and living Savior. He's not a dead God. He's a living God. but he died for your sin and for my sin. He didn't know no sin, but he became it that he might die for us. He had to take our sin. He had to become that in order to pay the price for our sin. And so if we die and we go to hell, the Bible said, well, go as an intruder because Jesus has already took your place. And I tell you, if you'll just trust him and believe him, and with all your heart, trust him as your Lord and Savior, and really repent and confess your sin, and bring your broken heart and contrite spirit, you'll never, never see death. I'm talking about a spiritual death you'll never see. You'll never die in sin and go to hell. I tell you, because you believe on him with all your heart, he'll save and seal you with his Holy Spirit of promise unto the day of redemption. You belong to him. You don't belong to yourself anymore. The Bible says, seeing that we've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus, we've been bought with a price, his precious blood that cleansed us from all of our sins. The Bible tells us that we are sealed unto the day of redemption. He didn't know no sin, but became it for us. But I tell you, the Bible said he paid an awful price. We were been bought with the blood of Jesus. That's how we've been bought and purchased. You see, we belong to him. The devil can't undo us. If he could, he could be greater than our Lord Jesus. But the Bible said there's no principalities. There's no powers. There's no things to come, things present. Any other creature, he named it all. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. But it also said that there's no principalities. He's above all principalities. He's above all powers. The Bible tells us that in the book of Ephesians. The Bible tells us that he has all power in heaven and earth. And so the devil can't undo that. The devil can't defeat our Lord. He cannot take our soul to hell. Once Jesus saves us and seals us, I tell you, he's already purchased us with his own blood. We've been blood bought and blood washed. And I tell you, the Bible tells us that the devil could get under the blood and unsave us, and he'd be a saved devil. And he's not a saved devil. He's a defeated foe. He's going to go to hell and spend eternity there with all that believe on him, all that follow him, all that don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll taste of this second death where the fire's never quenched and the worm will never die and the smoke of the torment will send up for never, never, never. And there'll be no rest day nor night. I'll tell you, that's what happens to every soul that doesn't believe on the Lord Jesus. The Bible said you'll go to hell and you'll spend eternity there with the devil and all of his angels. And I tell you, you won't know anything. It'll be so dark, so dim. I tell you, it'll be so much a place of torment. And people make joke and they say, well, if I go to hell, I won't be the only one there or what have you. But I tell you, they won't even know anybody else is there. I tell you, no doubt, maybe they will. I don't know. They may hear them crying out and weeping. But I tell you, they won't be. I tell you, it's not a place of a picnic. It's not a place that you think that the devil's going to take care of you. The devil's going to defeat you. He's going to destroy you. That's what he does. He tells people lies. And you serve me, I'll bless you. This or that. I tell you, he's a liar and the father of it. He is that old rotten, vile serpent. He's a serpent. And I tell you, he's going to spend eternity in hell. And the Bible tells us that's the time we're living into. We're living in a time of serpents, a generation of vipers. I tell you, the devil's got his demons out there. And I tell you, he's got his angels out there. They're going forth to rob, steal, kill, and to destroy, to captivate the people's minds, to bring them to totally captivate them and rule their bodies and do the ungodly deeds and the vileness and the ungodliness and the killings and the murders and the rapes and child molestations and all of this comes and stems from the devil himself, the spirit of Satan. That's exactly what it is. And I tell you, it's not of God. And don't put that on God and don't blame God for these types of things. This is from the devil himself. But my prayer to God is today, if you're not saved, my friend, that you'd come to know him real soon. Get on your knees somewhere. Pour out your heart. Bring your broke heart. Just give it all up. And he'll have mercy and save you. Ask him to have mercy upon you, a sinner. God bless you. My time's come and gone. In Jesus' precious name, and amen.